name I pray.
Amen. Amen.
That it be sung this morning.
Well, you messed up my makeup.
Okay, that's how rumors get started. Don't you do that. Let us finish with the song we started our Christmas season with, number 87. We won't do it in its entirety. We'll just do verses 1 and 4. This will be our call to prayer this morning. As you've already heard, there are many things in our prayer list. Many of our members are still battling health issues and other things. And so we lift them up in prayers this morning. We lift up our country, our world. As you've heard, especially throughout the Middle East, there are Christmas celebrations being canceled right and left for fear of terrorist activity and danger to the participants. And so we just ask the Lord's hand of peace to be upon our world this morning. Let us stand for both verses as we gather around the altar for prayer this morning. There's no choir to be dismissed, so y'all are on your own to come forward as you choose to gather around the altar and lift our voices in prayer as we sing verses 1 and 4 of number 87.
Nature.
precious and loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much this morning for this time of year. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. We're going to continue with the Christmas story that we started several weeks ago. And tonight we come, or this morning we come to the shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. A wonderful, wonderful message. This, give you a kind of a hint before we read this, is the first preaching of the gospel in the Bible, in the New Testament. The first preaching of the gospel in the Bible in the Old Testament was in Genesis chapter 3. When God told the devil, he said, I'm going to send the seed of the woman to crush your head. Oh, that was good news, wasn't it?
Amen.
Now we see the seed of the woman who has come, Jesus Christ. And let's read responsibly out of Luke 2, 8 through 14. If you have a bulletin, open it up, look at the right-hand page. Ask the audience to read the bold-faced text. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men.
You know, I'm told that the greeting card company spent collect about $1.8 billion a year on greeting cards. And one of the most used expressions in the greeting card is that verse number 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I want to ask y'all this question. Do we have peace on this earth? Do we have goodwill toward men? When I go to shopping during this Christmas season, I feel like a guppy in the midst of piranhas as people are wandering around. I have never seen so many horrible looks on people's faces. And people are just not happy. They're miserable. You turn on your television, it's like a horror show. When I was a kid, I used to get up early on Saturday morning to watch horror shows. They put the really good ones on real early. Tim, are you that old too? Can you remember that? We'd get up in the morning real early and watch the horror shows, the talking head and the zombies and all this. Now all I've got to do is go to Walmart and see it. It's right there. People are not happy. And the reason they're not happy, the reason that the world is in the turmoil that's in, is because we missed that first part. Glory to God in the highest. You see, when we get away from God, we get away from the blessings that God can bring. And I think that's what's happened. Even in Christmas, every year people ask me questions like they ask Jerry. Well, Christmas, New Year's Eve is the 24th. It's on Sunday. Are we going to have church on Sunday? Well, yes. We're here to celebrate Jesus' birthday.
Amen.
So, yes, we're going to have church on the 24th. When it falls on the 25th, I have people say, are we going to have it that day or are we going to call it off for family? I don't do anybody favors when I call church off for family.
Amen.
Because the first and foremost thing we're to do is to glorify our Lord.
Amen.
The reason we glorify Him, the reason the angels brought this wonderful message to us, and the reason they're praising God, is they said, unto you is born this day a Savior. And this Savior is born to all people.
Amen.
And I want to think about that today as we think about what's happening. The first Christmas, the birth of Christ, starts out with a tragedy. Here's a woman that's great with child. She's in her ninth month. She's ready to deliver a child. And they go into a city that they're not used to, and they're looking for somewhere to stay, and no one has any room for them to stay. They find the place in a manger. And that's the tragedy of Christmas. It starts out with everybody's covering up for themselves. Everybody's looking after their own. Everybody has all their stuff. And here is a man and a woman, and this woman's about to deliver, and she's going to deliver a baby. That's a tragedy, you see. But in the midst of this tragedy is God reaching out. You know, I have people ask me all the time. They say, how can a good and loving God bring all the evil that he brought into this world? How can all the bad things be happening all around us? And I tell you this, it's not God who brought the evil into the world.
Amen.
You can't understand the whole Bible unless you read the whole Bible.
Amen.
But the Bible begins with paradise. And when God made the world, he made it to be a paradise. He made it to be beautiful. He made it to where you didn't have to work every day. Wouldn't that be great?
Amen.
You were fed every day. You didn't have to worry about clothes. You didn't have to worry about makeup. Isn't that good, men? You didn't have to do that. Everything was just beautiful. And God told man, he said, everything that's here is yours. And what I own, I give to you. You can have it all.
Amen.
But God said, there's this one thing I don't want you to have. I don't want you to have the knowledge of good and evil. I want you to trust me, God says. I want you to let me set the standard. I want you to let me be God and you be what I've made you to be in the image of God. That's what God said.
Amen.
But man wasn't satisfied with that. And we decided we wanted to be God. And we do even now. We want to be God. You know, when we go to the doctors now, the doctors, they have the ability to pump stuff into our bodies and keep our bodies going forever. They can put you on a breathing tube and a feeding tube, and you can live forever in a vegetative state. And the reason they do that is we want to be God. But we're not God.
Amen.
We're not suited to be God.
Amen.
Only God is God. And God is God. And we need to remember that. The thing that we do is to glorify God. We're to praise God and to thank God for what he's done. To thank God for the life that we have. But to thank God more than that for the fact that we don't have to worry about death. Because God said, I am going to send a Savior who is going to redeem all things. The book of Hebrews says this. It says, we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor. And he says in Hebrews 2:9, we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Why was this baby born in that manger on that day so long ago? It was because he came to be the Savior of the world. You know, as these shepherds are out that night watching their flocks, they're working hard. The Bible says they're watching their flocks by night. Have y'all ever worked all night shifts? Y'all ever worked hard shifts? You ever worked in bad spots? These people are working in bad spots. They're struggling to feed their families, and they're out all night long. And then suddenly an angel appears before them. And that, can you imagine, you're in the middle of pitch black darkness. You don't have flashlights. You don't have these things. You have a campfire. But that's all you have. You have the moon to go by if there's any moon out that night. And all of a sudden, an angel appears. And it's like a sun that shines in the midst of all this darkness. And this brightness leaps out at you. And the first thing you're going to do is, what in the world am I looking at? Is it a UFO? What is this? And you get scared. But the very first thing this angel says to the shepherds is this: don't be afraid. You see, your life is dark, and you're working hard, and you're struggling to make ends meet, but God has not forgotten you. And God came to you in the midst of the darkness, and God sent his son for you. And that angel comes to him, and he says, look, he says, I want you to thank God for his love. He says, God has appeared to you, and God has appeared to redeem you through this little child. These shepherds were out watching their sheep by night because these were sheep, I'm told by the commentaries I've read, these were sheep that were being raised for the temple. And God established in the Old Testament that if you wanted to approach him, you had to approach him through blood. You had to take the blood of an innocent lamb and you had to shed its blood on the altar. And that was how you came to God. And you came to God under blood. And you know, you might be thinking right now, why in the world would God do that? Well, the reason God did that was to explain. Sin is not a trifle. God is holy and righteous and just. And sin is not something to be giggled at in a sitcom or something to be made light of. Sin is a terrible travesty. And sin hurts us. You say, well, sin doesn't hurt me. Think about the millions of babies that have been aborted.
Amen.
Because of sin. Think about the millions of people who are today homeless with needles in their veins because of sin. Think about the people who are walking around with AIDS and STDs because of sin. Sin is not a funny thing. TV has taught us to laugh at sin, to make light of it. Oh, it's funny. It's hilarious. Let's watch Friends, and it's just gorgeous. And they're beautiful people, and sin is just not a big thing. But God says the wages of sin is death.
Amen.
And what God was teaching in the Old Testament is sin is not a trifle. But sin is a wall between me and God, and once that wall comes, I can't get through that wall. So God said, I want you to understand through the sacrifice of the innocent lamb that when you sinned, someone must pay for that sin. And if you're not going to pay for it, someone innocent must pay for that sin. So these shepherds are raising these sheep. And they're raising them out, and they're raising them for one reason. They're going to take them to the temple. And they're going to be sacrificed, and their blood is going to be spilled on the altar. And it's a horrible thing to watch every year when you did that. And in the midst of all that, the angels appear. And the bright light of God's love shines forth, and he says, unto you is born this day. And I want you to notice in your text, he says, a Savior. He doesn't say the Savior. Why does he say a Savior? A means one of. The means the only. Now there's other places in the scripture where Jesus is referred to as the Savior. And I believe he's the only way that you can have to get to God. I believe there's no other way given unto men by God but Jesus Christ. And you must believe on him. But the angel says this is a Savior. Why does he say it's a Savior? Because it's your choice. You can keep on sacrificing animals if you want to. You can keep on trying to do it your way. You can keep on trying to work your way to God if you want to. Those are methods of salvation. Some people go to church periodically, whether they want to or not, because they think they're working their way to heaven. They think when they get to heaven, God's going to look at them and say, why should you be in my glorious heaven? He said, well, God, on the first Sunday of every month, I was in your church, and I heard all them boring sermons. And I sat through there with a grin on my face, even when the preacher told me how bad I was. And I deserve to be in heaven. And that's what they think. But that's not what gets you into heaven.
Amen.
There is no work of your hand that you can do that will get you into heaven. There is no fruit of your lip that you can speak that will get you into heaven. What will get you into heaven is the fact that God came to this earth as a little baby. And God was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes. And he was laid in a manger. And this Lamb of God came to this world for you. And this Lamb of God came so that he could die for your sins and for my sins. Yeah. And that's why the angel was just so ecstatic that day. He said, we've got good news of great joy. Oh my goodness. He said, it's better than steak dinner. It's better than watching my favorite football team beat somebody. Hey, Jerry? He said, it's better than that. He said, it's the best thing you can imagine. God has come into this world for you.
Amen.
And he lowered himself for you. That's what he said. God in his love reached out. And he said, unto you is born this day in the city of David, just like God said it would be. God kept his promises. Can I tell y'all this? God always keeps his promises.
Amen.
He does. Some of y'all don't believe God keeps his promises. How do I know? I've seen y'all when y'all in tragedy. When tragedy's there, your face looks like you're a bulldozer and you're dragging dirt.
Amen.
Amen. Your lower jaw goes down and y'all frowny up and all this. God keeps his promises. You know what God has promised those who love him? He said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Amen.
Now, I don't know. There's days when I wake up and I feel like I got to die to get better. Y'all ever been there? I get up in the aches and the pains, but what keeps me going is God keeps his promises. And that's the first thing that the angel told the shepherds. He said, he's born unto you in the city of David, just like God promised. promise. He was going to be born in the city of David. He was going to be born of the tribe of David. He was going to be in this place. And he said, he is a Savior. And then he says, listen, he is Christ the Lord. Then the angel goes on and says this. And I can imagine the shepherds as they're thinking about this. They're thinking, well how shall we know Christ the Lord? He said, this is the sign I'm going to give to you. You're going to go and find him laying in a manger. And I can just imagine these angels and these men standing before the angels. The angels are saying, listen, he's going to be born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's the sign that you're going to have. And I can imagine the shepherds as they're hearing this. And they're playing poker. Like many of y'all do when I'm preaching. They're playing poker and going, Christ is going to be born in a manger. Christ is going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Do you mean Christ the Lord is not going to come in a palace, but he's going to be born in the lowest place a person could be? And I can imagine their thoughts going around in their heads going, this angel, they've got to be drinking. I can't believe this. But that's how much God loves you.
Amen.
God came from the highest place he could come to the very lowest place he could be so that he could save you. And he is a savior to all people.
Amen.
To the drug addict, to the homeless, to the self-righteous, to the every person you can imagine, to the child molester, to the murderer, to the Hitlers, to the Stalins. Jesus came for everyone. And the only reason that he's not a savior to you is because you've not allowed him to be a savior to you. You see, if you reject the message and you reject the Christ, then the salvation doesn't come. And there's a lot of people who are rejecting the Christ today. To be saved, you need to come to the supernatural Christ. To be saved, you've got to come to that baby who is God in human form. And you've got to receive him as he is. And say, I realize I'm a sinner, that I need a Savior. And then when you come to him, you say, I cast my everything on you. And on that day, Jesus comes into your heart and he changes you. He changes you. You know, to enjoy the salvation that we have in Christ, we need to run to him. You know, Adrian Rogers said this one time, and I loved it when I read it. He said, I can't get too mad when somebody says something bad about me. I'm just glad they don't know anything else.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
I will never stand on a self-righteous pulpit telling y'all how good I am.
Amen.
I'm a bad man that God saved.
That's right.
And I'm a bad man that God keeps on saving every day.
Amen.
Amen.
And if his salvation did not endure, I wouldn't have any hope. But every day I wake up and my Savior goes with me. Because he promised. He's faithful to his promises. He promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But I want you to notice after the angel gave all these words. It says in verses 15 through 16. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made to us. That now, it says in verse 16, they came with haste. And I want you to think about those words for a moment. They came with haste. I remember when I was in England, they had shepherds out there, and we would always see flocks of sheep out in the field. We don't see that very much here. We've got a lot of cattlemen. We've got a lot of people that keep cattle. But we don't have very many shepherds around here. And one thing I've noticed about shepherds is they can't go with haste anywhere. What a shepherd has to do is they take a few steps and then they stand still and then the sheep gather around them. And then they take a few more steps and they stand still and the sheep go around them. Shepherds can't go with haste. But these shepherds went with haste. Why did they go with haste? Because they left everything they were responsible for.
Amen.
They walked away from their business. They walked away from their sheep. They walked away from their pastures. They walked away from everything that was around them. And they went straight to where that wonderful Jesus was at.
Amen.
That's how you're saved. You cannot be saved with one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. But you need to cast all things away and run to the arms of Jesus. Now, I tell you this, if you'll run into the arms of Jesus, Jesus will give you more than you can stand.
Amen.
I've never known anybody who gave their life to Jesus who wasn't blessed afterwards. And God will bless His people. But in order to be saved, you put to the side everything else. These shepherds didn't worry about what anybody else thought. They didn't sit and look around and say, well, I wonder what Job's going to do. They didn't wonder. They just ran to where Jesus was. The Bible says they went with haste. And when they went with haste, what did they find? They came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. They found the Jesus. Some people never find Jesus because they're always trying to receive Him conditionally. I remember there was one time, there was three men came to Jesus. And each one of them had an excuse. One of them said, Jesus, I'll be glad to follow you, but let me go home first and take care of my mom and daddy, and then I'll come follow you. Another one said, let me go home, plow my fields, and then I'll come follow you. Jesus said, no. He said, anybody who looks backwards and tries to plow, they're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. When you go to Jesus, you go to Him with open arms, trusting Him as He is. You believe Him, and you believe the promise of God. And these shepherds ran where Jesus was. And when they ran to where Jesus was, they saw Him. And the Bible says in verse 17, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. I believe the reason why many Christians don't tell others about Christ is because they never saw the Son. You're not going to tell somebody about something you don't really believe. If you never share Jesus with anyone, are you saved? These shepherds shared Jesus.
Amen.
And it says they went and made known abroad. Not just their family and friends, but they told everybody about Jesus.
Amen.
Because it was the best news they ever had. Oh, we've been raising sheep for years to kill in the altar of the temple. But now, we've seen the Lamb of God.
Amen.
And we can't hardly wait to tell someone else. They didn't go back to their sheep nor back to their pastures. But they went around and they told everybody in the nearby towns, you need to go and see this place. When Jesus is born in here, Jesus comes out of here. When Jesus is born in here, He comes out of here.
Yes.
What's on the inside shows on the outside.
Amen.
And if you're following a secret Jesus, I want to give you a secret. Jesus said, whosoever is ashamed of me on this earth, I'll be ashamed of them before my Father, which is in heaven. So you go and you tell us. That's what the shepherds did. And I can imagine that day, these shepherds, as they went from town to town, they made known abroad, they said, guess what we've experienced? We saw the Savior.
Amen.
We saw God in human flesh. We saw Him in a manger, and I can't hardly explain it, but you got to go and see it. That's the testimony of everybody who's born again. I can't hardly explain it, but the joy I have in here, if you would run to where Jesus is, you'll have that joy too.
Amen.
Because God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Jerry, come lead us in a final hymn.
Turn with me to number 77. 77.
Our tears and sins.
6 for a candlelight service. Hope you have a wonderful Christmas tomorrow. As you gather around the table, try to remember Jesus is the reason for this wonderful season. Brother Tim, would you close us in prayer?
Let us pray. Father, thank you so much.